Okay, so Stanak Katic just walked in, and just as the song was wrapping up, she mentioned she's been hugging wild animals. What's going on?
I was doing a talk show this morning, and there were guests that brought wild animals onto the set, and so they let me hold and feed their cheetah and hang out with a bear cat.
You're
and penguins.
Crazy.
Yeah,
were you scared?
No, not at all. It was they were all, you know, babies pretty much, except for the penguin. And
wow,
they're so stunning.
Really?
And, yeah, and they're so endangered, especially the cheetah that we were hanging out with. So it was quite an honor to be able to play with them.
I can't imagine what a thrill that was, but I guess I'm a scaredy cat. I'd be thinking, don't bite me. Don't bite me, please.
The cat
me.
Was more interested in the milk that I had than
wow, yeah. That's neat.
Yeah, no, quite an honor. Yeah,
it's like when those are moments when you realize you live a good life, right?
Yeah, truly.
That the work you do leads to really neat things,
to extraordinary experiences. Yeah, very fortunate, and
that's
it's nice
good.
To be reminded of that. Definitely,
that's really cool. Well, it's really nice to have you here. It's nice to meet you.
Thank you,
Stanak Katic. Of course, you know her from ABC's Castle.
Yeah,
we love. Tell Nathan Fillion we love him. sorry, I just had to get that out. Old Joey from One Life to Live. How you doing there, Nathan?
Oh, fanning yourself.
But Stana is also in an intriguing and really very bold new movie.
Yeah.
CBGB.
Yeah.
You play Genya Raven.
Yes.
Crazy.
Yes, thank you. Yes.
Crazy.
Yes.
She was Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
She's amazing.
What a character.
I got to meet her. And
did you?
Yeah, she's still, you know, she's still doing...
Speaking of being afraid, I think I'd be more comfortable holding a cheetah than meeting Genya Raven.
Really?
Yeah, because, back in the day, I remember going to see her.
Yeah, tell
at
me
CBGB.
About
that. I'm a native New Yorker.
Yes.
So CBGB's is a huge part of my life and my growing up. And she was one of those artists who on stage was a little dangerous.
Yeah.
In a way that, as an adult, I can say was really important.
Yes.
But as a teenager sneaking into these clubs, scared the crap out of me.
Okay. I snuck into CBGB's too.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Who did you go see?
So I'm 17 years old.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anything about anything. It was the first time I was in New York City, and I was studying in Boston, and my roommate and I were invited by a bunch of New Yorkers that were in school with us. They said, just come with us. And they took us around the city, and they said, we're going into this club, and hopefully we'll get through the door, and it's a fabulous music place. And I had no idea about anything at the time. It was my first time in New York City. I had no clue about CBGBs and about how it was like this historical mecca for music.
Mm.
All I remember was there was this great punk rock band in the back, and I remember everyone telling me, don't use the washroom.
They would be right.
Yes, right?
Yeah.
Filthy. And I remember just being so glad that we actually made it through, because I doctored my passport for ages to try to
but
get...
But you are tall.
Yeah.
So that instantly... You're tall and you're pretty. Of course you were going to get in.
You're sweet. Thank you.
No, it's true. I'm a native New Yorker. I've been sneaking into clubs. I started sneaking into clubs when I was 14.
Yes.
Height was the ticket.
Yeah.
You had to be tall, a pretty girl, or appearing to be gay.
Yeah.
Since I had two of three.
Yeah.
Actually, no, I was tall and I appeared to be gay. What was it like? Do you remember what it was like to be in the room? Were you just like terrified?
No.
Because it's a tiny space.
It was a smaller space, and I remember we were really close to the band and looking back at the bar. And I don't know at the time. Like, I feel now that we've done the film, I feel like Hilly Crystal must have been there, but I don't know.
He was always there.
Yeah?
Always there. So he probably was.
And when we shot the film, they brought the bar down to Savannah, which is where we shot a majority of the film. And then they shot exteriors up here in New York. They brought a majority of the old bar down. And so we were shooting on a lot of the old graffiti and old stickers and stuff.
Mm.
It was really neat.
That's so, so cool. You know, it's funny because the CBGB's Festival is going to be happening here in New York City later this week. And if you're in the New York area, you might want to check that out. But the movie, CBGB, begins kind of what they call a gradual release on Friday.
Yeah.
And having had the chance to see it, it's really remarkable.
Thank you. Yeah.
Really, really remarkable. And painstakingly recreates the experience. As someone who was there, I went to CB's a lot in my lifetime. It was really exciting to watch the movie.
Can I tell you, there were a bunch of people that we told their stories or they were very much a part of the club that came down during filming and showed us old photographs from the club.
Mm.
And they hid those photographs. Those photographs are in vaults. They will never release them because they've promised people that were in them that they would never release
them. Sure, because a lot of, you know, CBGB's was one of those clubs, and there were only a few of them in New York City, where things that, you think stuff happened in Studio 54? Amateurs. Amateurs. The real business was going on at CBGB's, the Pyramid, a couple of other places. That's where a lot of that was where the spirit of rock and roll, the spirit of youth, the spirit of New York City, that's where it lived.
Yes.
So, you know, and again, as a native New Yorker, a rock and roll child, I'm 50 years old now, still grieving for the loss of the club whenever I walk in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
The movie is almost like even though obviously there are actors playing all the parts, it's almost like a time capsule.
Yeah.
Lovely. So what was it like to inhabit this crazy woman who in her own way made an indelible mark not only on that room but on rock and roll?
I had a hoot meeting her and playing her, because in this story she's producing the Dead Boys, and she has a really wonderful relationship with Hilly in our story. And after chatting with her, after chatting with Cheetah Chrome and a few of the other people that were involved in that time period, Hilly's daughter, for instance, I just grew to have a tremendous amount of respect for her and for a lot of the barriers that she broke. One of the things that when I chatted with her, I said, wow, you're doing a lot of the things that Madonna eventually did, and the list goes on after Madonna.
Sure.
She said, yeah, somebody had to open the door so these other girls could walk through afterwards. And that was really exciting for me to, first of all, be a part of a character that was influential or that was a part of the whole CBGB rise, and also to be a part of telling the story of a lead female singer for one of the first all-female rock bands. That was, I thought, really impressive and sweet.
She was a revolutionary figure, and it's funny because she was a part of the same pack that gave us one of my heroes, Patti Smith.
Yes.
And I always felt like Ginya was the more grounded equivalent to Patti, because what made Patti so beautiful and what still makes her beautiful is that she's a poet who isn't really as grounded as she thinks she is.
Uh-huh.
It's part of the beauty of Patti Smith. Whereas I've always felt like Ginya was pragmatic in her innovation. She knew what she was doing.
She's,
don't you think?
Very
aware.
Earthy, for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely, yeah.
How does this character fit in the landscape of what you've been able to do as an actor so far?
You know, being a part of a film that's more of a rock story, I think was a chance to just kind of shake things up a bit, which was nice. It was nice to move into a world where anything goes, and that was that world. And being a part of it in any kind of scope was important to me. When I found out that the film was coming out, I said, please, I really want to be a small portion of it at the very least. And it was quite wonderful to be able to play opposite, you know, Alan Rickman, and the list goes on, because it has a really wonderful kind of group of people that came
to
it.
Yeah. Were you nervous at all? Because this is the kind of movie that people will either love or they will go to great lengths to take apart and be mean about.
Yeah.
Especially when they see, you know, I mean, there are some
heroes,
yeah. I mean, you know, these are people who is, you know, there are a lot of people, you know, portrayed who are still alive. CBGB's has become hallowed ground in the minds of a lot of folks, and also some of the actors who participate, very, very talented, but you know, not all the most rock and roll.
Yeah.
In their image. I mean, you know, you're a fine actor, but I would imagine that it would have been scary for you. It must have been scary for you to ultimately take this part, because some people are going to say, that girl from Castle's in this movie. Really? You know how people can be. You know how mean people can be. And judge you before they've had a chance to see you.
Oh.
So how, were you nervous?
I think I was nervous more about playing someone that would eventually see the movie.
Mm.
I was nervous about that.
I'm sure she loved it, though.
I think so. I hope so. And I was also really kind of excited, but, you know, looking at working opposite Alan Rickman with a bit of kind of, you know, anticipation. But I think the piece, we couldn't delve into any one group in any great, great depth, because the story is about Hilly and it is about the club and it's about how the club actually came into being. So it's more of an homage in so many ways, and it's more about the spirit of what actually made that accidental, fantastic thing happen.
Yeah.
'Cause he never intended it to be a punk rock club, of course, and most everyone here in New York knows it, but not a lot of people around the rest of the planet know it. And so I think there's going to be a great opportunity through this film to introduce that club and educate a whole new generation of people that are wearing Ramones t-shirts and don't know why.
I know, that really makes me crazy. When you walk through the mall, I live near the mall, and you walk through the mall, you see people wearing punk rock shirts and they're 15, and you think, on one hand, phenomenal.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, have you heard the band you're wearing?
Exactly, yeah.
And it just makes me a little crazy.
Yeah.
So when I saw
Did you listen to all of those bands? Like, can you tell me one of your experiences? Because as a fan of the space, like, I really want to know about
it. I mean, I went as, you know, I started going to CBGB's when I was, I want to say 16.
Mm-hmm.
And it was during the 70s. And I remember seeing the band Television there.
How was that?
It was really weird.
Yes.
It was really weird. It was a moment of experimentation for me, because I was a pop music kid.
Uh-huh.
You know, I was raised in the Bronx and raised on, you know, WABC and pure gum, you know, bubblegum pop.
Yeah.
And I was getting to that point where I wanted to know what else was happening in the world.
Yeah.
And I started reading magazines, and I just got a wild hair and went by myself, because I didn't have any friends who were into that kind of stuff.
Right.
So I went by myself. I was a teenager. I slipped in, and it was pure accident. It wasn't planned.
Right.
I didn't know who was playing. I just thought, I'm going to go wandering around and see what's happening. And there they were.
Yeah.
And it was just, I didn't completely understand it, if I'm being honest, at the time. But I felt like I needed to memorize every moment. I remember it just being very dark. I remember being a little nervous in the room, because the room seemed to be moving.
Yeah.
I almost felt like the walls couldn't contain
the music.
The music, because the music was so blistering and the sound system was terrible. But that was what was so great about CBGBs, was the sound was terrible.
Yes.
It was really more about the spirit,
yes,
the energy, the intensity.
Yeah.
You know, I remember getting, you know, drinking beer underage and getting knocked around a little bit. It was pretty incredible. But I mean, I never got to see the Ramones there, but I did get to see Blondie there very early on.
How was that?
Now that was really good. Now that I had full awareness of, and Debbie Harry was just sort of like, she was a little drunk. She was like, and she just sort of like belted it out, and she didn't really move because she was so, she looked like she was in a bad mood.
Okay.
But the crowd kind of, like, you know, motivated her. And by the end of it, she was really into it. But she came out, she was like, what the fuck you all want from me? It was very like that. I mean, I went there countless times.
Yeah.
And so watching the movie was really, I'm going to be honest, I approached it with a bit of like a, prove yourself.
Uh-huh, yes.
And it does.
Thank you,
congratulations. Because the performance, and I'm a huge Genya Raven fan.
Yeah.
Most people listening to us right now going, who the fuck is Genya Raven?
Yeah.
You all need to hit Google. A little less time on the Rihanna site. Learn about the great ladies
she's
of rock and
amazing,
roll.
Amazing, amazing, gritty voice.
Yeah, she's like right down here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just like...
very bluesy.
Yeah, I mean, watching you in this movie got me very excited, because I've always thought you're a very talented woman. But this made me wonder, what else has she got? That was a, it was almost like you, like watching you, Stana Katic is with us here. And when I watched you, I thought, you're like a poker player.
Okay. Okay.
And you're just finally playing your cards.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to see what else you're going to deal.
Thank you.
This is like just the tip of the iceberg, isn't it?
Thank you.
Look at you. Am I making you blush? I think I'm making you blush. You're so cute. Are you shy? Would you consider yourself shy?
I don't know. Maybe.
You play Genya Raven. Come on now.
Yes. And she's bold and bodacious, and it's awesome. Yeah.
What was it like to kind of... Because you're very gentle in the way you speak, and you're very, very elegant. What was it like to shed that and climb into this woman who, in some ways, she was very much a woman, but she was also in many ways very much a dude.
Yeah,
She has hardcore masculine energy.
Yeah, she's unafraid. It's exciting because I think that there were elements of that character and Genya is a person that I think a lot of girls would benefit from. It's unapologetic.
Mm.
And I really liked that.
What was it? I mean, what did you take from the experience that you'll carry and in that might inform your other work?
See, this is kind of a movie where you get to inhabit someone else, and the way that she moves and the way that she spoke and where everything sits for her, it's in a wonderfully free and like Earth Mother Goddess space, and it's unafraid. And I think that those elements, I mean, you know, I kind of said it just a second ago, but those elements, I think, are important. I think we get, as girls, we get taught to say, I'm sorry, all the time.
Mm.
It's like you walk in the door and you're automatically saying, sorry, sorry, oh, I'm so sorry, did I step on you? Oh, I'm so sorry, did I breathe? Oh my, I'm so sorry, you know? And I kind of liked working on a character that never said, I'm sorry. And I even read her book afterwards, and the book is, it's, you know, everything. It's all out there, and it's not apologizing for any of it, and it's weathered. And I think there's something beautiful in weathered, unapologetic stories. Like, I love those people. They're the ones who, you know, at the end of the line, they've got a few scars, and they've earned it, and they've actually lived their lives.
Mm. Well, you know what? I'm so thrilled to have met you today, because I've, like I said, I have been a fan of your work, but I'm especially thrilled at the timing, because I do feel like you are just starting to peel some layers back for us to witness. I can't wait to see what you do next.
Thank
do you have
you.
Anything planned you can tell us about?
Nothing right now. We're in the midst of shooting our castle season, so that's occupying everything for me until the end of March, beginning of April.
And how's that feeling? Are you having a good time with that still? It's such a fun show.
It's great. It's different. It's very lighthearted, you know, and the characters are engaged now. So we're going through all of the random complexities of two people engaged with a lot of very opinionated people around them.
Well, I cannot wait for your next role, because when people see CBGB, it's going to change a lot of minds.
Thank you.
Not that they need change. You know what I mean. I think when we see you doing something like Castle, we see very, you know, leading lady, and that's wonderful. But you're a whole secret weapon character actress. It's exciting.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to see us today.
Thanks for having me.
It's really, really nice to see you. Look for Stana Katic in CBGB, starting to play in selected theaters on Friday. And I always tell you, when it comes to a movie like this, when it's gradually opening, if it's not playing in your town, start to request it, because movie managers pay attention to that kind of thing. Just say, you know what? I've heard about this movie. It's called CBGB. It's got all these great actors. I want to see it. Good chance they'll book it. Stick around. There's more to come on The Jolt.